Anybody else need a worksheet? No? All righty. Matthew chapter 21. I want to encourage you to get just a couple weeks. You have to hand out these invitations to Easter. It should be a big day. It should be a big day. And want you to hand these out. It'll be a great day. All right? All right. In the Bible here, Matthew chapter 21, we come to verse number 18. Come to verse number 18. And it says, now in the morning, now, by the way, this is after the Jesus has the triumphal entry. And, of course, he showed what he thought of the hearts of people, okay? I mean, the hearts of Israel, if you say it that way. And we talked about, what's in your temple, the cleansing of our temple last week. And then at the end, in verse 17, after the cleansing of the temple, it says, and he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. So he went back out of town. A lot of times we think that when Jesus went into Jerusalem, he stayed there the entire week. He actually stayed outside of town in Bethany. But anyway, so verse 18, now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. And he said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? And Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to this fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, we're not going to get to the second half of this event. We're going to talk about the fig tree tonight. And so let's pray. And we'll talk about a fruitless life, or the question is fruit or frills? Fruit or frills? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. And I'm not sure what the nurses needed there for, Lord, but I pray you take care of that need. Thank you to have Miss Joyce here, used to tending to all kinds of things like that. Pray that you tend to things there. Lord, I pray that you'll be with our service here tonight. Pray that you speak to our hearts. Give us what we need. Lord, I pray that you'll move us, reprove us if necessary, encourage us, correct us, instruct us, and give us and help us to be more fully furnished to be your children. We'll give you the praise for all that you do. In Christ's name, amen. Now, there are actually at least two main lessons in this event here. Now, we're only going to address the first lesson this evening, but just as the cleansing of the temple was a commentary on the spiritual state of Israel, so is this event. It's not just a happenstance. It's not a temper tantrum from the Lord. Okay? It's not just thrown around his weight. In the cleansing of the temple, which was like the heart of the nation of Israel, Jesus was exposing and thus reproving the selfish lust that had overtaken and possessed the spiritual life of Israel. And the cursing of the fig tree here is a picture of God's disclosure of his condemnation of the fruitless emptiness of the people. Let me say that again. It's a picture of God's disclosure. He's showing it for what it is, and his condemnation of the fruitless emptiness of the people. Now, I think these lessons are also very applicable as a warning to all of us. Now, let's kind of walk through this one more time, read it one more time as we work into this and see what happened here. Verse number 18 says, now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered. He famished. You could say he really wanted to see some fruit. He wanted to see some fruit on this tree. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently, it started at that point, it started to wither away. Now, if you go back to Mark, you'll find that it's like he cursed the tree. He went on into town. They came back out of the city. And the next day he comes back and he found out that the tree was withered away. So it started to wither away. But it was just gone by the next day. It was gone. So it was very quick, if you will. I mean, you don't see that happen just any old time. Unless you pour, your Windex on your flowers instead of the squirt bottle. You know what I mean? Have you ever seen ladies who spray their leaves? You spray with the wrong thing, you're probably going to have some troubles. I forget what it was we did. Janet says her thumb's not green, it's brown. But I forget what we did, and it was dead. I mean, it was just dead. And it's not a normal thing. And so he puts a curse on the thing. By the next day, I mean, this tree, the whole tree, that apparently had been there for years, I mean, it's a tree, was dead, had withered away. Now, number one on your paper here, I want you to see the figure of the fig tree. In other words, the symbolism, if you will, of the fig tree. Number one, the roots were hardened in stony soil. It says he saw a fig tree in the way. Now, what happened? What was going on? They were walking into town. Now, this fig tree didn't belong to anybody. It was just a fig tree kind of growing wild along the side of the road. And I don't know why I have this picture of a little fence and the fig tree kind of growing over top of it or not. I don't know why, but it was right along the road. And the fact is, if it's growing along the road, remember when the different soils, we have the soil that the seed that was planted by the wayside, that's along the edge of the road. What's the problem with that? Well, that's where the wagon wheels went over. That's where people walked. It was hard. It was beat down. It in fact, it's not going to get real good soil. Now, this wasn't right in the middle of the road, of course, but it's in that spot where, it's hard ground. It's beat down. I hope this doesn't happen this year, but last winter, did you notice a lot of folks, Leland cypress trees had dead spots? Some of them, entire trees died last winter. I don't even know if those big evergreens. They said what happened was it was so cold for so long. This is what they said in the paper. I'm not a botanist, but it says that it wasn't that it froze out, but that the ground was so hard that it dried out because the water couldn't get to the tree to the roots, and so it wasn't going to do much. And you know what? I can imagine a tree growing alongside of a hard ground, especially if they have Dover soil. It's just going to roll right off of this thing, So it's not in a good spot. So the roots were in hardened and stony soil. The tree was in the way. It was along the road where the world passes by. And it was growing where the world had hardened the soil for years. Letter B, let me tell you something else about fig trees. Figs come first. Let me explain here. Number one underneath that, the first fruit of the fig tree generally appears before the leaves. Now, this is important. In the figure of the fig tree, and that, of course, that was general knowledge there. The fruit, you wouldn't think that would happen that way. But, it's kind of like, I think it's the dogwood tree. A lot of times, the bloom comes out before the leaves do. Doesn't it? So some of those, the dogwood tree, the bloom comes out. I'm looking at Margaret. She's supposed to know all this stuff. She's the garden club president, past president. But we've bought some small dogwood trees. Oh, there we go. We got Paul back here. Is that right? Is that usually happened? Yeah, we've got Paul back here. And there's a couple times I bought some dogwood trees and I planted them. And I was hoping they were going to, they were going to blossom or something. And a few of them, the blossoms died. The buds died and the leaves came out anyway. So as soon as the leaves come out, I said, well, that's it. They're done. It's not going to happen. And so, there's a problem there. And so Anyway, on a fig tree, the fruit actually shows up before the leaves. The actual fruit. So that means it's budded and brought forth fruit before the actual leaves. So, since the fruit came even before the outward expression of the leaves, so by the time they see the leaves, there should certainly be some fruit there, if fruit is going to come at all. There should be some sign of life there. Now, see, what it says in our passage is, he says that all he got there, all he saw, but leaves only. So here he is. He's hungry. It's breakfast time. And he's walking down the road to see this fig tree. And he says, oh, there's some leaves on that fig tree. Now, it might have been early, but there's some leaves on the fig tree. So behind those leaves somewhere should be some figs, because it's showing that there's life there, so there should be fruit there. And so the fruit is green and generally blends in with the leaves right up until it's almost ripe. So therefore, when Jesus and his disciples saw from a distance that the tree had leaves, they would have expected to also have had fruit on it, even though it was kind of early in the season. Letter C. Let me tell you something else about fig trees. Fruit on a fig tree is fairly consistent. Fruit on a fig tree is fairly consistent. In other words, each tree, again, this is kind of unusual, but a fig tree would often produce two or three crops of figs each year. There would be an early crop in the spring, followed by one or two other later crops in the year. And some parts of Israel, depending on the climate and conditions, it also may be possible that a tree might produce fruit 10 out of the 12 months of the year. So that also explains why Jesus and his disciples would be looking for fruit on the fig tree, even if it was not in the main growing season, because there's usually some figs floating around there someplace. Now, they may not be the biggest and the juiciest of the year, but there should be something showing up. So there ought to be some fruit, or at least some sign that fruit had been there. I mean, you go to an apple tree, you pick an apple, you can kind of see, you know, where the apple had been plucked, you know. And so there should be some sign of some kind that there's some kind of fruit, or at least there had been at one time. And it was as if there had never been any fruit on that tree at all. So Jesus comes up this tree and sees that. Now, letter D. We should be constantly bearing fruit. I'm going to give you some principles here. And you're going to see it all fits together here in a little while. We should be constantly bearing fruit. Jesus says that when we bring forth fruit, some is it's 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, but there should be always some fruit. Just like that tree, we expect to have some. It may not be loaded at all times. It may not all be the best fruit at all times, but there ought to be some fruit. That's what fig trees do. Letter E. To only have leaves and no fruit is essentially a non-life-producing tree. To only have the leaves and no fruit is essentially a non-life-producing tree. It is dead, yet as it lives, if you will. It has the outward form and appearance of a living, thriving, fruit-bearing source, but in actuality, there's no life being produced. You know, when we did Billy Reynolds' wedding last weekend, and he and Sarah Keckler, she's no longer Keckler, she's Sarah Reynolds. Billy goes by Billy. His name is William Henry Reynolds III. That's a fancy name, isn't it? It sounds like the guy ought to be a king or something. But anyway, it was out toward Biglerville in the orchard. There was a little chapel that was there for years, Klein's Church, I think it's called, and it's out in the middle of all this orchard. And so we were going by all these fruit trees. And the fact is, out there, I mean, that's business. Fruit trees, that's their business. I mean, just thousands. We were going down to the reception, just hill after hill, just covered with fruit trees. If the fruit tree doesn't bear, it's of no value. It can look like a fruit tree. It's supposed to be doing it. I mean, it's there, but it's of no value. It's not producing life. It's a non-life-bearing tree. You could say it's a failure because it was designed to bear fruit. Let me give another picture of the fig tree. Letter F. The leaves are just a covering. The leaves are just a covering. Now, the leaves kind of go around the figs. They kind of cover up there, and it kind of probably keeps the sun off a little bit, keeps them from getting scorched or, you know, sunburned, you know, whatever. Do you ever have a sunburned potato? We used to get those. They get too close to the top, and they kind of get sunburned on there. But anyway, it keeps them from getting messed up there. So from a distance, though, the leaves cover the fact, watch this, when he was looking at that tree coming down the road, he expected to see fruit. The leaves were all there, and they're blowing in the wind. They covered up the fact that there was no fruit. Hang on to that thought. The leaves covered up the fact that there is no fruit. From a distance, the leaves cover it up. But once you get a little closer, once you examine that tree a little closer and you get to the heart of the situation, if you will, you find that the tree is all flash and appearances, but it's not giving life. It's a fig tree with no figs. It has the leaves. It has the covering. It has the outside appearance. But it's really not doing what it was called to do. I think it's interesting. In Genesis 3, Adam and Eve sinned. And they tried to cover their sin with fig leaves. But underneath the leaves, they were still dead in trespasses and sins. Leaves can kind of cover and camouflage. But the fact is, the leaves on that fig tree are simply covering up its emptiness. He saw the leaves. There should have been fruit. But underneath the leaves was nothing. The fig leaves on the tree covered the fact that there was no fruit until one examined it much more closely. Let me give you number two. In the Bible, and I've checked this over and over and over again, the fig tree represents the Jewish people. The fig tree represents the Jewish people. The presence of a fruitful fig tree in Israel was considered to be a symbol of blessing and prosperity for the nation of Israel. And likewise, the absence or the death of a fig tree would symbolize judgment and rejection. So symbolically, the fig tree represented, if you will, the spiritual deadness of Israel, who, while very religious outwardly, with all the sacrifices and the ceremonies, they were still spiritually barren because of their sins. They had a lot of flash. They had a lot of show. They had their fig leaves on, but they weren't washed from their sin. It looked a whole lot nicer. You know, when it says Adam and Eve, when it says they sewed fig leaves together. I'm sure that when it was all done, Eve said, "Does this make me look fat?" They sewed it all together, make it all nice and dandy. But you know what God made him put on? A coat of skin. This is just a side thing, but it's interesting that Adam and Eve put on aprons of fig leaves. That means just kind of a girdle around the bottom here. Just cover up enough. But that's not what God does. When he sees sin, he covers it all. By the way, we should cover it all. But it was coats of skin. He put fur coats on everybody. He covered everything up. Now, the cleansing of the temple, by the cleansing of the temple and the cursing of the fig tree, causing it to wither and die, this is what was going on. Jesus was pronouncing his coming judgment of Israel, and he was demonstrating his power to carry it out. So you make a bigger deal of this. Why? Listen, look what they put. They put this right in here. On the way, he kills that tree. Listen, how many people? Okay. Why do we have a sign in front of our church? Because there's almost 10,000 cars go by our door every day. Well, what good is it? They're all going to see it. It's a sign. Where was this fig tree? The road going into Jerusalem. It was the Route 74 going into the Dover of Jerusalem, if you will. People go in and out of the city all the time. Can you imagine what was happening? What in the world happened to that tree? That thing was just here last week and the thing's dead. You've had things happen in your life. You thought, I wonder what God's trying to tell me. You know? My guess is they saw Jesus come in that way. They saw Jesus go out that way. You know, it's a little town. Word gets around. I don't think they tweeted or Twittered or whatever it is that they do. I don't think they did anything of that. But my guess is word got around. I'm sure it did. And so the cleansing of the temple and the curse of the tree was really God, Jesus showing his condemnation, if you will, demonstrating his power to do it. Says, this is, we're done, and I can make it happen. Number three, hang tight with me. Number three, the Jews had been warned. W-A-R-N-E-D. The Jews had been warned. If you want to turn real quick with me to Matthew 3, I'm going to show you something here. Matthew 3. Now, if I figure this right, Matthew 3 comes before Matthew 21. Right? So, they had been warned. Well, look what it says in verse 7. Matthew 3, 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, this is John the Baptist, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able these stones to raise up Abraham and children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquestionable fire. Now, I think this was a literal foretelling, it could be, of the destruction of Jerusalem, which Titus burnt with fire in 70 A.D., and destruction of the temple still mourned by the Jews every year on the anniversary. Coincidentally, there's this one commentary, I have to check it out, said that was actually the same date that Solomon's temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. I'd have to check that out, but that would be an interesting little research there. But anyway, so they had been warned, said, listen, we're going to kill this tree. The tree was a picture of Israel. Letter B underneath there. There was an outward beauty and a fanfare, but nothing of substance underneath. Look at Matthew 23 with me. Matthew 23. This is a little bit after 21, but it gives us some explanation here. Remember, Jesus says, he came to find fruit. By the way, it's almost like they said, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith? Shall he find any faith? going to find anybody who's still serving the Lord. And he came to Israel and he found there was very little going on for the Lord. And what did he see? Look at Matthew 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and even large the borders of their garments. And they love the utmost rooms of feasts, of the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. And what they want, do you know what he's saying there? They like to have lots of fig leaves on. That's what they're saying. They like to put on a lot of fig leaves. Show of religion. When Adam and Eve put the fig leaves on, they were putting on religion. They were covering up their sin. They were not dealing with the sin. If you're going to deal with the sin, there has to be a sacrifice. And the only thing that's worth sacrifice, that's going to be enough, that's going to pay the sacrifice, is blood. It's serious. Look at verse 8. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. How many times have we seen that in Matthew? I've heard people who don't believe the Bible say, it repeats so often in there. Maybe they just threw it in there, whatever they wanted to throw it. They forgot that they put it in earlier and they did it again. It's just a book written by man. No, I think he's telling you again, how many times have you told your kids, clean up your room? Clean up your room. Clean up your room. Clean up your room. Well, we're just a bunch of kids. And he's telling us, I think maybe this is an important part, to humble ourselves. Stop trying to say that we're some great thing. Look at verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against them, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he's made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple does nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever swear by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether ye be greater, it goes on and on and on and on and on. It's all leaves. It's all fluff. Listen, there, he says we're, look at verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisee hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men. You got lots of leaves. Look like a good fruit-bearing tree, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? And so, he's about ready to crucify the Son of God. The fig tree represents Israel. Had all the leaves. bore no fruit. Number four. The fig tree is a warning to religious unbelievers. The fig tree is a warning to religious unbelievers. They have a covering, an appearance of being a real fruit-bearing Christian, and yet there are no life-producing juices flowing through it. Letter B, no root, no fruit. No root. Around here we say roots, don't we? No roots, no fruits. No, that doesn't work. No root, no fruit. Every time I think about that, my grandfather, when we would have Sunday dinner, he'd always pray for us at Sunday dinner, and he would say, Lord, bless this food. This food. Never heard anybody else say it like that, but he would say food. The fig tree is a warning to religious unbelievers. A big show isn't enough to do it. See how Jesus thinks of something that has no fruit? Just a big show. So it's a pretty tree. Makes nice shade. That's what it was made for. Number five. The fig tree is a warning to every Christian. The fig tree is a warning to every Christian. Even a Christian can put forth all of his energy into a spectacular show and flourish without ever producing real fruit. Number one, no fruit of the Spirit. Now, folks, if you've been saved any time, there ought to be some of it sneaking around there somewhere. You should be able to lift up some leaves once in a while and find some fruit. But the fact is, the fruit should be so big and plump that it lifts the leaves up itself. It says, here I am. But remember, the fruit comes first. The fruit's the important part. In other words, my guess is if he had passed that fig tree, and it was so early that there was some fruit and the leaves had not come out yet, he could see the fruit. I don't think he would have cursed the tree. Doggone fruit tree, no leaves. What's wrong with you? I don't think he had a problem with that. We may not have all the fluff and everything all in order. Maybe we're not crossing all our T's yet and dotting all our I's. Maybe we don't wear a hanky just for show, not for blow yet. But is there fruit? Is it producing? Now, there's nothing wrong with dressing up the tree. Right? There's nothing wrong with representing it well. There's nothing wrong with allowing the Lord to allow you to flourish a little. But the important part's not the leaves, it's the fruit. It's the fruit. Number two on the third. No reproduction of other Christians. We ought to be an apple tree when it makes fruit. If that apple goes into the ground, if it's not some hybrid that won't, you know, but I mean the old original apples. Okay, I got this. I'll just do it this way. We have wild cherries on our property. So you got one wild cherry tree, you got a bunch of wild cherry trees. The bird just seemed, they just figured out they're just going to plant those things everywhere. And so you get a wild cherry tree, you got wild cherry trees because wild cherry trees produce wild cherry trees. Christians should be producing Christians. We should be producing Christians. Now, let me give you number six and number seven together. We're kind of going another direction here, but just hang tight with me. Number six, God is long-suffering. God is long-suffering. What do I mean by that? Well, God graciously gives us plenty of chances. My guess is that Jesus had passed by that tree many times. That wasn't the first time he passed by that tree. Now let me read some. In fact, turn with me real quick. Luke 13. We've got a little bit of time here. Luke 13, verse number 1. Gospel of Luke, verse number 1. Look what it says. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering saith unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Let me stop. We think, you know what? I really have relatively no problems. We have had relatively no issues in our family. And you know what? I guess God thinks we're pretty good. Now, those people over there, they had some terrible thing happen to them. They must be terrible, terrible sinners. Because those towers fell. But he's using those towers that fell with innocent people, relatively, to warn us. And he says, except we repent, we shall all likewise perish. Look at verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree. It's a picture of Israel. He's telling them something. Why don't you see this? He had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and he sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree. Three, number of completion. In other words, he's waited long enough. That's what he's saying. He's waited long enough. These 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? It's just taking up space. You can plant something else. What good is it? Verse 8. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. So the master of the vineyard saw the fig tree the first year, didn't bear any fruit. Well, let's give it another shot. Second year, didn't give any fruit. Well, let's give it another shot. Third year, didn't bear any fruit. I'm done. And somebody steps in and says, grace, let's give it another year. He says, I'll do everything I can. Give them every chance they've got. I'm going to fertilize it and plant it. And take. You know, that's important. Bill remembers that cherry tree that grew up beside my wife's house there, that big old black cherry tree, black cherries. And that thing was so full, he used to go out with buckets full, they tell me. He grew up right next door to my wife in Silver Run, Maryland. And they had a big old cherry tree. And she said her dad would fertilize and put lime around, all kinds of stuff. And that thing was just, you know, just loaded with cherries. So he says, I'm going to do everything I can to make that thing work. What am I saying? God gives us plenty of chances. We're all a bunch of fig trees, if you will. We ought to be bringing forth fruit. Fruit of the Spirit and multiplying ourselves. And God's long-suffering. Look at number 7. Hang tight. Judgment is sudden. Judgment is sudden. S-U-D-D-E-N. Suddenly. Judgment is sudden. It says in Matthew 21:19, it says this, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. And he said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Now this tree, this is going to sound kind of funny, but this tree's been happily living there all this time. Boom, today it's dead. Now let me give you letter B here on number 7. Jesus has the power and the authority to not only save, but to also destroy. Jesus has the power not only to save, but to destroy. Hebrews 9:27 says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. And so the power that Jesus has. Now remember, he went into he cleansed the temple yesterday. And you're going to find out that after when he shows up in town, after the fig tree and after the temple, they're going to say, well, who gives you this authority and the right to make these decisions? Well, they ought to know by now. If he can say, boom, fig tree's dead, I think we know we ought to be a word to the wise here. The power is demonstrated on an inanimate tree rather than on human souls. But it's pronounced as a word to the wise. He has the power to do this. And when it comes, judgment is sudden. Number eight, judgment is final. Judgment is final. Once we are face to face with the judge, remember it says, as it is appointed a man once to die, and after that the judgment. Once we are face to face with the judge, his judgment stands forever. Let me read, you've heard me do this, but Revelation 22:11 says this. He that is unjust, this is the end of time, going into eternity. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. If you're not justified in his presence, not going to happen now. Not at that point. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. You're not going to lose it. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. When judgment comes, it's done. One of the reasons I got saved because my mom convinced me that the rapture was imminent. And I thought I missed it. It could happen in a moment, twinkling of an eye. Gone. But not only that, we could drop over dead. We could wither away and be gone in a couple minutes. Number 9, it is our purpose in life to bring forth fruit. It is our purpose in life to bring forth fruit. Let me say this again. That tree thought it was going along just fine. It had no fruit, but it didn't care. Right? The tree had no fruit, but it didn't care because it would get nothing out of the fruit. See, the fruit only feeds others. The fruit does not feed the tree. When it brings forth fruit, it's a value to everybody else around us, not to itself. And see, we're so selfish, as long as we look good and everybody is admiring us, we don't care whether we're producing any fruit or not. But we're dead as we stand. The fruit only feeds others, and yet that is what God designed the fig tree to do. Bring forth fruit for the sake of others to bring forth fruit. You follow what I'm saying? So bringing forth life, watch me, brings glory to God. You go back to Genesis. He says that the trees are going to bear fruit trees after its own kind, and the animals are going to bear after their own kind, and we're supposed to be bearing fruit of our own kind. Go forth and multiply. Life, bringing forth life, bringing forth life, bringing forth life. There is no other explanation than that there's a God, Every single one of you, if nothing else, is a witness of what God can do just because you're still alive. This little pile of dirt that we live in has a soul in there that makes all this work. If the winter ever gets over, the trees are going to blossom, and they look dead. We were in North Carolina last week. The trees were blossoming. I mean, they were coming out. I mean, it was like, boom, there they go. It was another side of the world, apparently. But anyway, it was just, well, watch me now. Bringing forth life brings glory to God. It allows others to see who God really is. And when we fail to bring forth life, bring forth fruit, we fail to bring glory to God. And when we fail to bring glory to God, we fail to fulfill our purpose in life, and henceforth, we failed life. We failed life. What? Bring forth figs. And he says, Israel, I chose you out of all the people in the world to bless, so that they may, because I'm going to bless you, and through blessing you're going to bless all the nations. He says, I want all the world to see how I can love a people. I want them to see me through my relationship with Israel. And Israel refused their relationship, and so thus they failed the job. So what has he done? Temporarily set Israel aside and said, we'll do it through the church. But you go back into the New Testament, and Paul says, you know what we're going to do? He's bringing the church up so not only will the church win folks to Christ here, but also make the Jews jealous so that they'll want to come back in on this thing. You see what I'm saying? Okay, and it was good stuff here. Now, letter B. This is the statement. Ready? Leaves are not fruit. Leaves are not fruit. Everyone said, well, you ever get one of those mixed green salads that looks like the things that you try to dig up with the thing in the middle of your yard? That's some of those things. I swear some look like dandelion greens in there. But leaves are not fruit. My dad would eat fruit all the time. He hated vegetables. But he'd eat fruit. The leaves are not fruit. What's fruit? Matthew 7. And let me, if you want to get it real, if you want to look at it, I'm going to do this, but look at it. Matthew 7, 15. Our purpose, of course, is in life is to bring forth fruit. And leaves are not fruit. Can't take credit for bringing forth fruit if all we're bringing forth is leaves. A lot of talk, a lot of shout, a lot of all this. That's not fruit. You can bring forth fruit without having all the fanfare. Matthew 7, 15 says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. They got leaves on. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather of grapes of thorns? How about this? Or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith, and notice the connection here. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. What's Lord, Lord? Lots of leaves. Amen. Yes, right. Now, I like amens and all that kind of stuff. It's okay to have the leaves. But make sure you got some fruit on those leaves. And not just a bunch of leaves. All right, say amens like saying, sick them to a dog. I mean, I like that. That's good. But just because we got leaves doesn't mean we have fruit. He says, not every one of me, verse 21, Lord, Lord, shall enter to the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we've not prophesied, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have we cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Well, we signed your name to all kinds of things. I mean, we had leaves flying everywhere. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him as a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came. This is, in other words, a bunch of leaves are going to blow off in the storm. What happens if the fruit goes into the ground and dies? Brings forth more life. What happens when the leaf falls off and grows to the ground? Dries up and withers away. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It came to pass when Jesus had entered these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. And of course, I didn't do all the one on the rock and one on the sand. And were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Why did he say that? There was more than just leaves in Jesus. There was something deeper in Jesus. There was real there. It was life there. When the scribes and the Pharisees spoke and taught, there's nothing there but leaves. Fluff. Letter C. Abide in the root, and you'll get the fruit. Abide in the root, and you'll get the fruit. John 15:1. You know this passage. Almost done. I am the true vine, and my Father's a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I thought he was trying to take me. No, he's just purging you. He's trimming you up. He's getting rid of some things that are weighing you down, stealing your energy. My mom and dad had an orchard, and they had apple trees, and these little suckers would come up in the middle of it. And we were taught to go, and you take those suckers out. Isn't that right, Paul? You got much about fruit trees? You kind of clip those suckers out of there because the fruit's going to come out here, and that sucker in there is just drawing energy, drawing juice, taking things away from the root producing. We were out there for Billy's wedding, out there in those trees. They are the ugliest things in all the world. Gnarled up. I mean, it's just really weird. You look at fruit trees. They've been purged and purged and purged and purged and purged. And yet they're making the husbandman very wealthy. Verse 4. Oh, I'm sorry. Watch this. He said, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3. Now, how does he purge you? Now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Stay in that book. Let it clip you to pieces if that's what it decides. It won't clip you anywhere except where it's supposed to be clipped. But don't fight the clippers. Don't fight the husbandman. You fight the clippers, you might get clipped where you don't want to get clipped. He says, you're clean through the word which I've spoken to you. Verse 4, abide in me, just stick with me, he says, and I in you. And as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am in the vine and ye are the branches. And he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and he's withered, and men gather them and cast them into fire, and they're burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. In other words, that's what it takes to be my disciple. Bear much fruit. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. He says, I'm not doing this to hurt you. I'm doing it because you're going to have joy, because you're going to bring forth fruit. You're not going to be a bunch of just leaf barren trees. You're going to have fruit. This is my commandment, verse 12, that ye love one another as I have loved you. What's that saying? Who gets the fruit? Not the tree. Do you remember the story of the Christmas tree And didn't get to, you know, there's an old story, little children's story, and finally got to be something and everybody, I don't know, I can't remember how it goes. But can you imagine if a tree really actually had a personality? And Jesus, wouldn't it have been a wonderful thing for that tree, for Jesus to pull, and he knew that tree, knew it was Jesus, pull off one of those figs, and boy, that's good. Can you imagine what that tree would have felt? I know it sounds funny, but what that tree would, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've done exactly what I told you to do. Now, we don't get anything out of it. He says, you love one another as I love you. And greater love hath no man than this, that I lay down my life for his friends. I give you my fruit. Devour it. I give you my life. Devour it. What I have, I got from him. I give to you so you can give to someone else. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. In other words, it sticks there, it grows to fullness, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. What do you mean love one another? Bear fruit. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love! See, it's all in there. You want to see God bless you and see him, feel his presence? What? Judas, not Iscariot, asked Jesus, why will you manifest yourself to me and not to others? He said, if you keep my commandments, you love me. If you love the Father, so I will manifest myself to you. You want to see God work? Give forth fruit. Bear forth fruit. And God says, there's a fruit-bearing tree. He needs more. I need him to bear more fruit. I'm not going to cut him down. I'm going to give him everything he needs. Not necessarily everything he wants, but everything he needs. Letter D, and I'm done. About time, huh? We should continue to bear fruit. We should continue to bear fruit. Psalm 92, 13, 14 says this. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God, and they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. See? And it works. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. And his leaf shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I want to be fruit bearers. I want fruit, not just a bunch of frills, but fruit, the real thing. Speak to our hearts here this evening. Thank you for what you're doing in Christ's name.